Today on Everyday Black History, we have a treat. Normally, we would cover a man, woman, or institution in Black history or that has contributed to Black culture of the past, present, or future. But today, we have the privilege of interviewing one of the women involved in a documentary film about a man that's largely forgotten in history. The documentary film, Crawford, A Man the South Forgot, talks a bit about Anthony Crawford. And he's a man from South Carolina who acquired wealth. And there was a large injustice that was done to him and his family. And we encourage all of you to look for this documentary and watch it. And as mentioned, we have a privilege of interviewing one of the women involved, Tiffany Jackman, who is the editor and producer of the film. So, Tiffany, how are you today?
I'm great. I'm great. How are you? And thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. It's interesting when you guys reached out to me about doing this interview, I was looking for information on someone to cover, and I stumbled across Anthony Crawford, and I was reading over it and just, you know, seeing what happened to him, and you know, there's information on him, but when I watched your documentary film, it really went into detail about what happened and the people of the town that he was in at Abbeville, and you know, just getting a modern day feel for it. So it was a pleasure to be able to get in depth information on it.
Oh, thank you. I'm really glad that you enjoyed it. Just hoping more people get a chance to watch it and learn about him.
Yes, indeed. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from, and how did you get into filmmaking?
Okay, well, yes, a little bit about myself. Where I'm from, it kind of is a long story. My family immigrated here from Georgetown, Guyana. So my family's South American. I was born in Queens, New York, raised in Atlanta, Georgia, and then moved back up to New York to go to NYU to follow my passion of filmmaking, and have been back in the New York, New Jersey area ever since. And so how I got into film, I actually have always enjoyed storytelling ever since I was a little, like, itty-bitty kid. I started writing plays for my school down in Atlanta, and then that eventually turned into filmmaking. I bought my first camera when I was 12, and started making little movies ever since with my friends. Used some of those movies and stuff to get into NYU, and have been in the film industry ever since. Spent a few years working in advertising, doing commercials. that's where I guess I can say I grew up. And, you know, during that time, I still made films because that was my passion on the side. And about 2 years ago, I decided to leave the corporate world and focus mostly on films, and especially telling stories that I feel really, really needed to be told. So, like, one of the films I did was on immigration. Another one was about the relations between Black and Jewish people in upstate New York. Another one was about how, you know, Americans treat Muslims. And now this one. So,
okay. Wow.
Yeah, I always tell myself I want to do a film because the story needs to be told, not just because it's going to make a lot of money.
Right. Okay, mm-hmm. Wow. So, yeah, you've had quite a journey.
Thank you.
So what drew you to this project, and like, how did you get involved with this project about Anthony Crawford?
Yes, so I have been, since I left the my corporate advertising job, I started working with Hobo Films. I was friends with the owner of Hobo. It's comes from Hobo Audio, which was actually an audio post-production facility. Basically, what they do is the all the audio work for, like, different commercials and stuff. So when you need to do a voiceover, when you need music, when you need sound effects in your commercial, you go there and you do that. And so I've been doing my commercials with Hobo Audio. And then when I told him that I was going to focus more on filmmaking, the owner, Howard Bowler, asked to take me to lunch and told me about a project that he was working on, and asked if I would produce his TV pilot for him. And so we worked together on that TV pilot called The System, which is also airing on Quelle TV. And then, you know, that one has started to take off. And then he told me about this other project that he had started years ago, about the story of Anthony Crawford. He had started shooting it in the early 2000s, like between 2000 and 2002. And back then I was still in high school, so had nothing to do with that portion of it when it was shot originally. But it kind of had been just sitting on hard drives ever since. But he told me about this story, and I was just so intrigued by it that he said, okay, well, can you finish it? So he just gave me all the footage, and that's how I started piecing it together. And then, you know, we had the footage put together, and but I felt like it just needed a little bit of a modern take to it. The reason that we needed to use a lot of the footage from 2000 to 2002 is because at that time, a lot of Anthony Cropper's descendants were still alive, like the grandchildren. But a lot have passed away since then, so I did need to use that footage. That is what it is. Those were the interviews are. But okay. I wanted to get some modern footage, just some shots of the town and things like that, so that it can stand up to other modern documentaries that are out there right now. So we went down a few months ago, filmed some modern footage, blended that with the other interviews, and here we are.
Okay, okay. And I was just going to ask, were you able to visit Abbeville, South Carolina at all? Like, how does it feel down there? Like,
it's interesting. You know, I grew up in the South, although I always say I lived in the South, but I'm not Southern.
Right.
Because, you know, I kind of was in my own little bubble. I'm the first American in my family and stuff. And so, although we lived in Atlanta, like, I didn't eat Southern food, like I was at home eating roti and curry and stuff, like I was in my little bubble. And so although I lived in the South, I didn't really experience the South so much, but I kind of knew a little bit about it. So going down there, I kind of already felt like I knew what to expect with just based off of like working around that footage from Abbeville for so long. And so I did go down there with a little bit of a guard up because it is the South.
Right.
It is a historically, you know, a racist town.
Yep.
If you do, you know, some research into the town, that town is actually where the Civil War started and ended. I know it's crazy. That's the town where they have a hill there called Succession Hill.
And wow.
It's a big important hill in that town because that's the hill where they had the meeting of secession where they decided that they wanted to secede from the Union. And then it just also happens to be that was the town where when they realized they were losing the war, that's the town where they decided to throw down their swords and say, we're done. So it's a very historical town. They take pride in all the history there. There are a lot of homes there that, you know, they've made sure to preserve and things. And so it's kind of pretty, right? And then when I went down there, everybody was so nice. Like, I wanted to let my guard down. Everybody was so sweet, so helpful. But I also was kind of like, kept my distance just a bit because as sweet as everybody is, in the center of town is this huge Confederate monument. So I'm like, I want to like you. I do. I really do. You guys are so sweet. But I have an issue with this big monument here that wanted to keep people who look like me enslaved.
Right, exactly.
I have an issue with that. So I won't say uneasy, but conflicted feeling down there because everybody's so nice, but I still made sure I was back in my hotel by a certain time. And then I also, you know, being that it's such a small town, it didn't take long for me to go into, you know, a restaurant there and someone was to say, oh, we know you're here. So I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not used to that living in New York where people know you're there, you know? So yeah, hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Okay. So now was there any other footage? I know there was a lot of footage that was shot over years. Was there any footage that didn't make the final cut that was interesting?
Yes. So one of the good and also, you know, challenging things about all the footage I had and just the story of Anthony Crawford in general was that there were so many routes I could have taken this story. Like one of the things that took me a while to even edit it together was figuring out what the storyline was going to be, right? Mm-hmm. Because we could have gone down the storyline of how this family was disenfranchised, basically, how they lost the wealth that could have been passed down. That could have been one storyline. Mm-hmm. We could have gone down a storyline talking about, there's a line, a very famous saying where they said, if you follow the lynching trail, you'll also find the land lost trail. Like mm-hmm. lots of people that were lynched around that time, like the Reconstruction period, had their land taken. And so we had some interviews with AP reporters. There's a little bit of snippet in there mm-hmm. of them, but they talked a lot more about other stories of people who had been lynched and then their land stolen by their neighbors or whoever killed them, basically. So that's another, you know, route I could have taken. Mm-hmm. There's also the route of getting the Senate. Doria, the heroine of our story, was able to get a Senate apology in 2008 where they yes. apologized for the lynching.
I saw that. Mm-hmm.
And so I could have gone that way. So, you know, but I chose because it was the one that I think had the most footage that I could have made it into a linear story. I wanted mm-hmm. to focus on the journey of Doria, who lives in the north, going down to Abbeville to find out more about her great-great-grandfather and his contribution to the town and trying to get the town to recognize him. So there was a lot of footage that I, you know, kind of left to the side because I needed to find a storyline. Because
right.
that's what you need for every film. You need a storyline.
Right, right, right. I mean, the interesting thing is that extra footage could, like, with all these different paths you could have taken, the ideas for maybe other projects because, you know, interesting that you mentioned that, you know, a lot of, you know, successful black men and women who were lynched in those times, they had a lot of land, they had a lot of wealth, and that wealth wasn't able to be passed down to the next generation. So, I mean, those are possible, you know, ideas.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, even just showing maybe what happened to the family after they lost the land. One of the grandchildren was talking about how, you know, her mom had been so well educated and had, mm-hmm. you know, they had so much wealth. But then when she had to escape and land in Philadelphia, she had to clean houses because mm-hmm. she had lost access to everything that she had had. So there could have been a whole storyline on finding out where all the grandchildren, where all the children and grandchildren had to end up because of this. There was so much, you know, but in order to make a 30 minute or so documentary, I had to find just one thing to go on. Yeah.
And one thing I didn't know either that I saw in a documentary was that there were black owned oil fields. I didn't realize that there were any, mm-hmm. black Americans who made money in oil at all. And so I started to do a little research after seeing that part. It was a little snippet in the doc, but it was like, it, you know, kind of got me thinking. I was like, oh, I didn't know that, you know?
There was this brief period right between slavery and, you know, where Jim Crow really kind of reared his ugly head, where there were mm-hmm. a lot of successful black people. Mm-hmm. But there were also a lot of people that didn't want to see successful black people. Mm-hmm. And so, they had to stop that.
Right.
So,
yeah. Mhm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So, were you able to talk to any of the relatives during your time? You know, being involved in this film, were you able to talk to some of his descendants at all?
Yes, I was able to talk with. Actually, when I went down to Abbeville, I was able to meet with Philip, who is a great grandson. Of Anthony Crawford, and he's the one who pretty much showed me around everywhere. I told him he's like the governor because everybody seems to know him.
Mm-hmm.
So he took me to the home place, what they call it. So his land. He took me to the jail cell where Anthony Crawford had been in. He took me around town because, you know, I could look at things on the map, but when you have a local to show you around, it's a whole lot easier. So he took me to Succession Hill. He took me everywhere. So he's just lovely. Such a sweet guy.
Great.
He went to his home, interviewed him for a little bit there. I didn't end up using his interview footage. I used some of the audio from his interview just because it would have looked a lot different than the other interviews that were shot earlier.
Right.
You know, he's grown up a little bit more and stuff. So, But yeah, yes, he's a lovely guy. He was able to give me some more information about Anthony Crawford. So it was great.
Okay, cool, cool.
Mm-hmm.
So now, how did working on this doc affect you? I know it had a deep effect. How did it affect you?
It was heavy.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to explain. I sometimes, don't take this the wrong way, but I sometimes look at America through rose-colored glasses mm-hmm. a little bit, not to the level of like white privilege, but
right.
Just because my parents immigrated here, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What I was told growing up was that America is the land of opportunity. We left home with nothing but a suitcase. You guys are so lucky to be here. You're going to have a great life. And mm-hmm. the more and more I hear about all of these things, it just kind of crumbles it for me
a bit. Mm-hmm.
And this was just another crumble, I guess you could say, a pretty major one.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a heavy one.
Yeah.
I think the heaviest I felt it, or the time I actually felt angry about it, was when I was actually there in Abbeville, when I actually mm-hmm. went to Anthony Crawford's land. And the fact that he owned 427 acres of land,
I know. Ugh.
And so much so that for us to see the whole place, we had to drive from one end to another.
Wow.
And that's when I was like so pissed for this family that they don't have access to this land.
Because mm-hmm.
real, when you have land, you have wealth.
Yes.
Especially in America.
Yes.
And the fact that this family is cut off from that was, it's awful. That's the part when it really, because I've been, you know, working with the footage so long, but to actually stand on that land, realize I can't see the other end of it. It's that
mm-hmm.
large.
Mm-hmm.
And the land was still very rich, too, in terms of, like, there were pear trees still growing on it. So it's very fertile,
mm-hmm.
Valuable land. You know, it's not some desert land. This is, he had a farm there, and the land is still rich. And the fact that they don't have access to it is, it's enraging.
Yes. It's interesting watching it. I felt like, you know, this mixed bag of emotion because I, you know, reading it, I felt, you know, a sense of pride that, you know, this black man was able to accumulate 427 acres of land and then get involved in an industry that, you know, slaves, you know, had to do for free, picking cotton. You know,
mm-hmm.
and to accomplish all that, you know, and then he had this sense of pride in himself, like when he said, you know, the day a man will beat me, the day I'll die, you know, like.
Exactly.
And then I felt sorrow when, you know, or naturally what happened to him, and then the fact that his family was chased out of town, and then that led to anger, you know, so it was like this mixed bag of emotion, the fact that that happened to him and his family, and there's so many other you know, black Americans have that story throughout history, especially during that time, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, when you hear people today say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Right.
I mean, I'm here today. If my family can do it, your family can do it,
mm-hmm.
or you could have done it. There's no, when they don't understand the racial inequalities, like income inequalities in this country, you know, it's crazy. You need to hear stories like this to see, yes, you know, black people have the ability to be very successful, but a lot of times their feet were cut out from under them.
Right.
You know, exactly. And you can't take that and not recognize it for the reason why there's this big income gap today.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take that into consideration.
Right. Absolutely. So here's a personal question. So what lessons did you take from Anthony Crawford and his life and just your experience working on this documentary?
If anything, it just solidified how, you know, you need to do hard work and you need to have pride in what you do. That's
mm-hmm.
what I really, really appreciate about him is that,
mm-hmm.
that pride that he had in himself. You know, I have a very much an entrepreneurial spirit
mm-hmm.
where if I want to do something, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And I saw that from him. And I really, really appreciate that about him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm proud of what he was able to do in those type of circumstances. And for him to come from, you know, there's some debate on whether he was born a slave or born right as slavery ended. But either way, for him to come from those humble beginnings and to mm-hmm. be who he was, mm-hmm. I'm proud of him. I know I'm a lot
right.
younger than he is, but I'm proud of what he was able to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So what's next for you? Any other projects down the line? Anything else you got going on?
Yeah. So I have a few things that are going on. The TV pilot that we worked on that is airing on Quelly right now, The System, which is mm-hmm. About how the police target minority kids for the same things that white kids do, and the fallout that comes from them trying to get the kids into quote unquote the system. So we have that airing on Quelly right now, and we are trying to get basically get a deal to get other episodes made. We have a number of projects on the belt. I'm always writing things. Mm-hmm. Have another movie that we're looking at selling right now. So yeah, have a few things down the pike.
Nice. All right, staying busy. That's good.
Staying busy. Pandemic won't stop us. Staying busy.
That's right. Okay, and so now finally, where can the documentary be found?
So Crawford, The Man the South Forgot is airing on Quelly TV. So that's Quelly TV.
Okay. All right. So we will definitely be promoting the documentary on this podcast here, because this is definitely a story that everyone needs to know about. So, and you know, whenever you have anything else that you got going on, you want to come here and talk about it, you are more than welcome to come to Everyday Black History and talk about your projects.
Thank you. We certainly will. And thank you for having us.
It's been a pleasure, Tiffany. You enjoy the rest of your afternoon, and we'll be talking soon.
Thank you. You too. Goodbye.
All right. Take care. Bye. Okay, so there we have it there. Tiffany Jackman, the producer and editor of Crawford, A Man the South Forgot, as you can see, this is a documentary we encourage everybody to go watch, go see, because you know, it was a major injustice that was done to him and his family. And like many things that happened to Black Americans during that time, that accumulated wealth and these horrors that happened, a lot of it was swept under the rug and nobody really knows about it. So these documentaries are important because they keep, you know, these people in the forefront of our mind and our history and our culture. And as mentioned, he's an example to look to. You know, he came from humble beginnings and acquired, you know, wealth, 427 acres of land. So we encourage you all to watch Crawford, A Man the South Forgot on Quelly TV. It's a streaming service that streams African-American content. So download that and check that out. You'll definitely enjoy it. So that concludes this episode of Everyday Black History. And we'll be coming at you soon with more history, so stay tuned for the next episode.